Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. It's lavish time. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and we are getting together in the backyard to labrish. We're here once a week on a Wednesday, and in the backyard, when we labrish, it's always to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So I want to welcome all our callers on the board this evening, and also to remind you, as I always do, that this is a labrish, so I expect to see some raised hands as we relax in our favorite chair. We get together once a week to just sort of reminisce and think back on the days when we grew up on the beautiful island of Jamaica. And most of what we do here in the backyard is to research and find things to be positive about and to celebrate, because in spite of all the changes and what's been happening, we still love our culture and our country. So we can live on some beautiful memories. So tonight, we're going to just chill out, relax, and I hope all our listeners will join me in the labrish. Now, for the listeners online, if you'd like to interact, please dial 1-718-766-4558. So again, welcome to all the listeners on the board. And as you know, that we are still celebrating, as a matter of fact, this week we're winding up our enlightenment on all our wonderful classical musicians that are scattered all over the world. And I think there's still some in Jamaica that perhaps are performing or just vacating or chilling, like we do once a week. Every now and then, you know, it's a great place, still a great place to go and chill. So for us in the diaspora, we're going to pretend that we're in our favorite easy chair and the trade winds are blowing across our face. And I don't remember if it's even mango time, but whatever your favorite fruit is, you're just relaxing and having a nice fruit cup or a rum punch, or a rum and coke, or whatever was your favorite thing to chill. So, I am always excited when I discover new things, and I don't know if I was under a rock or someplace for all the years I've been here, but I'm discovering a lot of new things that is really just keeping me very, very happy. So we're going to conclude our program that we've been having for the past, I think, 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, on the classical musicians we have produced who have given so much to the world, and they are all different aspects and fields of the classics. And tonight we're going to talk about some baritones and some sopranos that are performing in operas as we speak. Not literally, but you know what I mean. So for our friends who come by later and might not know what we do here in the Labrish, as I say all the time, a Labrish is just a casual conversation when people get together of like minds and discuss some fun things. So I hope you will come often and share with us. What I want to do is encourage especially the seniors to get with the new technology and let us leave a living memory of our voices and our ideas and our thoughts on this wonderful platform we have with Blog Talk Radio. So here we go. I see that I have some of my regulars on the board, and I want to ask them to put up their hands whenever they'd like to. So this evening, I'm going to start off the Labrish with some information on Mr. Willard White, because I never heard of him before, but that, you know, there's a lot of things I never heard of, because as I say many times, I'm just getting back into the research of the positive things about my wonderful island and our very diverse culture that I grew up in. So let me tell you about a little bit about Mr. White. And I'm getting all of this information. I must give credit to Dr. Joy Lumsden, who is a historian, and she resides in Jamaica. And anyone can access some wonderful information, including what we're going to talk about tonight, on her website, which is Joyous Jam, www.joyousjam.com. JOYOUSJAM. So, Mr. Willard White is known as one of the world's greatest bass singers. He's famed for his enormous rich voice and powerful stage presence. He was born in Kingston, Jamaica on October 10th in 1946. And he began his musical training at the Jamaica School of Music and continued it at the Juilliard School in New York. He made his debut with the New York City Orchestra Opera in 1974 as Colline, C-O-L-L-I-N-E, in La Boheme. Since then, he has sung in the Opera House of San Francisco, Los Angeles, London, and major cities all across Europe. And he sang in opera in a festival in Salzburg. Now, William White's extensive repertoire include his baritone role in the opera by Monteverdi, Handel, Mozart. He has just sung in, just named the opera here. There is a whole, I think, paragraph of the different characters he has played in different operas. You know, as it says here, he has a great stage presence. But his most outstanding role is considered by many to be the one that he played when he sung in The Damnation of Faust, F-A-U-S-T, and I hope I'm pronouncing, and I hope that my very well-learned classical fan will help me with some of this, because I'm a novice at this, you know, I'm just having fun, So I hope that the politically correct people that are, you know, tweak everything will forgive me if I mispronounce, because sometimes in my excitement and my limited sight, I don't even see some of these letters and I just call it anything. So I see that my fan on 718-379 is on the board with a hand up. So I'm going to open the mic because tonight I need some help. Good evening. You got Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have at 718-379?
This is Lane, New York, the home of the New York Yankees.
All right. Are you still winning?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay. That's good. Okay.
I don't have much to say except that I'm working and listening, but I thought I heard you say the damnation of Faust is the correct pronunciation for that, F-A-U-S-T, Faust.
Okay. And are you familiar with that opera?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
It's based on Greek mythology, and it's very, very difficult and rousing. When I was in college, even the Glee Club, we sang selections from Faust, and it's very challenging. Let's put it that way.
Well, it's funny that this article here says that his most outstanding role is he has played in several of them, you know, Gershwin, just names here go on and on and on. But that one in particular was considered his most outstanding.
Yeah, it's very difficult. So if that's his main one, that tells you something about him.
Well, great. Well, I'm glad you could shed some light on that because I was clueless.
Uh-huh.
Now, he performs regularly in concerts in London, in the London Symphony Orchestra, in the London Philharmonic Orchestra, and the Royal Philharmonic, and just all over the place, Los Angeles. But the question I have for you, Leigh, is, are you familiar with this name, Willard White?
Yes, I've heard the name. I haven't seen him perform, but in the opera field, you can't help but know of him. Yeah.
Right. Did at the time you knew about him, did you know that he was Jamaican?
No. I didn't. A Jamaican, once he opens his mouth, usually you can almost always tell that he's Jamaican, but not when he's singing.
Not when he's singing opera. Right?
Right.
Okay. Now, he has appeared on television as Porgy in Porgy and Bess.
Yes.
And as Shakespeare's Othello with the Royal Shakespeare Company. He appeared in the opening ceremony of the Millennium Dome in London.
Yes, and I'm pretty sure that I saw him in that because my cousin's son in London performed in that particular.
Interesting.
I was watching, and had I known you were going to have him on, I took a picture of my cousin's son.
What part did he play?
Well, he did the musical scoring for the effort.
Oh,
and
wow.
And he also plays the trumpet.
Uh-huh.
But trumpet is not only what he plays. He plays a lot of other instruments, but his main thing is like Winston, what's that fella's name? Marcellus.
Uh-huh.
You know, very much like Marcellus, the way he plays.
Oh.
Mm. But then we're going off on a detour because Marcellus is a jazz specialist. My cousin plays everything, and he also arranges and composes. So in this particular instance that you're talking about, he did the arranging for the spectacular.
Wow. So actually, and he performed twice. Mr. White performed twice as the soloist in the last night of the proms.
That I'm not familiar with.
So that is all I have on him. But for music lovers, I'm sure you can get some more information. And, you know, you can check out Dr. Lumsden's, all my pages. And she has, you know, one segment on classical musicians that are Jamaicans. So it's interesting, Leigh, because I didn't know that you, as you said, you didn't know at the time. But I didn't even really know that you had gone to, you actually went to London for this performance, or it was a performance in New York?
No, it was, I was in London, and it just turns out that, you know, we knew that my cousin Joy, we were going to assemble her daughters to watch on television, because it was a thing that the ordinary man couldn't get tickets to. Normally, when he performs, especially when it comes to New York, I get tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And for this occasion, no way. So the best thing we could do is sit in the living room and serve our hors d'oeuvres and watch.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next person I'm going to talk about is a Edmund Reed, and he is currently the co-leader. And Leigh, you know, there are so many of these brilliant men and women, and we've been talking about these classical Jamaicans for some time now. I've sort of lost track of who I discussed before and who I didn't.
Don't feel badly, because there are so many of them, and the Jamaicans excel in these in the classical field, as you say. You know, unless someone brought it to your attention, or you wait for a performance by the, you know about it and then you wait for it. Sometimes you never know that the guy is Jamaican.
Right.
So, you know, there are lots of them out there, and they're all doing well.
Yes, and I would just like to say at this time that people just believe that it's sports, or, you know, the more popular music that we're known all over the world for.
You know,
but
I just wrote a similar thing in my notes, what you just said. I mean,
yeah.
And the Jamaicans excel in every field across the board. And as a Jamaican, I'm so proud when we can walk and, you know, with our head high, to know that they're just into everything. We're talking about music here, but they've done well academically, intellectually, in sport.
That's right.
And in every field, so it's a good thing, and it's you know, some people might attribute this, the way we carry on about them, as arrogance. But let me tell you, it's just something to be proud of.
Well, of course, and I must say that I'm sure that there are other, speaking of islands or small places, I'm sure that they have, you know, people who do well in different things too. But I think that you might find more of the people, more of the foreigners or people from small countries that have excelled over the years. It's not just yesterday or since Usain Bolt or, you know, our reggae artists. It's long ago. This has been going on for a long time. So I can only say, you know, just to be funny, that it may be the yams. You know, we're in the backyard. We have to put a little humor into stuff. But something the mothers were drinking on the island, because this has been going on a long time. It could be just the climate. I don't know, but we've really been producing some wonderful people. So, you know, we can take some pleasure in that. Now, let me tell you about Mr. Edmund Reed. He's currently, well, I don't know what date this means as currently, I just copied this off, co-leader of the English National Opera. He has previously been co-leader of the Welsh National Opera and principal at the Royal Opera. For many years, he has been he's freelanced with just you name it. And it's here on the paper. Even in Calcutta. Ain't that something? One of his most recent recital tours of the subcontinent, he officiated at the first All India Violin Competition. Ain't that something? Edmund Reed is his name. So he's one of the leading violin teachers in the UK. And his studio is in, he has studios in Sutton, Milton, are those places in London? And central London, yes, I suppose. He studied with some Russian person here whose name I cannot pronounce.
Was that Sasha Lesseron?
Yes! You know about him?
Well, no.
Sasha Lesseron. Yes, you got it.
Yeah.
Although steeped in the Russian school, where beautiful sound and elegant bowing was preeminent, Jamaican-born Edmund Reed also brings to his teaching some of his original ideas gained through his vast experience as an orchestral principal and soloist. Oh, my goodness. He has given master classes as far afield as India. On his most recent to the subcontinent, he officiated. I read that already. This is just a double thing. He's currently leader and coach of just, you should see all the places that he's coaching. This is unbelievable. For many years, he performed as a distinguished pianist in Queen Elizabeth Hall. Is that in London, too?
I don't know. I mean, from the sound of it, it sounds like it might be.
Yes,
Queen
yes.
Elizabeth.
So he's, I don't have a lot of information about, you know, the year he was born. We just know he's Jamaican because he's part of this group, very large group, that Dr. Lumsden, you know, is featuring on her website. I just thought I would pick out a few names and throw them out there to see if people have heard of them, any of our listeners. And I'd like to, again, welcome the listeners on the board and ask them to feel free when they'd like to participate by hitting 1 on your keyboard. And we have listeners from 413-973-631, I guess, all over. But now we're going to talk about Maxine Franklin. Did you hear me speak about her already, Leigh?
I don't think so.
Yeah, she was born into a musical family in Kingston, Jamaica, and she started playing the piano at age 5. And by her early teens, she played full-length piano recitals, given broadcasts, and performed the Mozart piano concerto in D minor with the Jamaican Philharmonic Orchestra. I know I wasn't dreaming. I remember that Philharmonic Orchestra, but I don't remember. It doesn't say here what year she was born into this family. But, Leigh, you remember the Philharmonic Orchestra. Is it still performing in Jamaica now, do you know, or does anyone on the board know?
I don't know.
Oh.
The reason I say unless you're there and you know for sure, Philharmonic orchestras, even here, are going through hard times because it's very costly to run them.
Right.
And especially now, where you know, funds are tight, you don't get the grants the way you used to, and it's not easy to keep them running. So, you know, it's like a business. You either merge or you go out of business. But I don't know if the Jamaica Philharmonic still exists.
And here again, I'm asking anyone on the board, if you can enlighten us on this information, we'd be happy to plug you in. So just put up your hands. And, that's part of what...
Jamaica newspaper and Jamaica Gleaner, and if I see it there, then we'll know it exists.
Right. Well, we're still talking about Maxine Franklin.
Yeah, please do.
She continued her studies in London with a Jamaican government scholarship at the Royal College of Music, and later as a pupil of the distinguished Hungarian pianist and teacher, Lion is his first name, and the last name is Kabos, and he's Hungarian. How would you pronounce that? Kabos?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. She attracted attention in the international music world with recitals, broadcasts, and piano competition successes. She was a prize winner in the Italian International Piano Competition and received a Certificate of Honor in the BBC Mozart Piano Concerto Competition. Her debut at the Wigmore Hall in London received enthusiastic press reviews. Further London performances at the South Bank drew highly favorable notices, praising her authority and individuality as an interpreter over a wide range of piano music. And that was something that was quoted from the Daily Telegram. She continues teaching with recitals of general repertoire. Recently, she has focused on works of Africa, and Afro-American and Caribbean-inspired music. She has given recitals of these works in London for the museum series Out of Africa in October of 1998. This is some time ago. But I have not heard this name before. Leigh, have you?
No, I haven't.
Maxine Franklin.
No, I haven't.
Huh. And she, you know, she's apparently very contemporary because she's doing African and Caribbean-inspired music.
Yeah, but mostly in London, it seems. Eh?
Right, it seems so. No, she was in Pittsburgh, at the Pittsburgh University in 99.
Okay.
And up to March of 2001, in August of 2001, she gave a recital program at Churchill College, Cambridge University. Cambridge is in London?
Yes.
Okay. She plans to give a recital of general and Caribbean works at Leigh Hall, London. This was from 2002. So some of these news is old. Well, as old as it is, we have not heard of her. So we're just catching up with London and I suppose the rest of the world. At this point, I would like to remind our listeners that you are listening to Blog Talk Radio. The segment is Backyard Labrish, and we're here once a week on a Wednesday at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica. We sort of have an open forum, and we pick a theme that we talk about, but we invite you to join the Labrish. So to do that, you have to call us at 1-718-766-4558 and hit 1 on your phone, and I'll see a raised hand like you remember when you were in school and you had to put up your hand to be able to speak. Well, you can do that right now, and I'll plug you in. So anyone that would like to join the Labrish, please feel free to hit 1 on your keyboard. So now, I just have a short piece on this person, but there's a wonderful picture of him that Dr. Lumsden has on her website. And again, I encourage you, I want to celebrate and thank Dr. Joy Lumsden for her really passion and dedication to piecing together and putting together at one place historic information on Jamaica and Jamaicans that perhaps it would be hard for us to access if she didn't have it all one place. And I invite our listeners that really like history, and she's only doing history on Jamaica pre-independence, to go there and, you know, check out some of the things. I try to cover a lot of the different things that she has brought to light on the show because I really enjoy history and must confess that I don't know if I was not paying attention or I'm so old I can't remember or it just wasn't done, but I don't remember getting much history about some of the things I'm learning now that happened in 18-something that included Jamaicans and was about Jamaican when I was in school. And I was in school in 30s and 40s. So I figure if it was, if the information was available, you know, perhaps I would have learned about it. But I'm assuming that a lot of this wasn't. And that Dr. Lumsden is now dedicating her life and devoting her life to putting this information together at one place so that we can access it. So I want to really, really thank her. I think I've asked her to be on the show. She has not really accepted. She's too busy researching. But she still resides in Jamaica from what I understand. And I want to, I'm sure all of my listeners are just as grateful to her as I have. So I'm extending another thank you to her tonight. She has a nice picture and a short paragraph on John Lyon, L-Y-O-N. He is a male soprano. His stage name was John, Carvalho, I think it's, or Carvalho, C-A-R-V-A-L-H-O. That's his stage name that he selected, I suppose. But his real name was John Lyon. And he sang the role of R-U-G-G-I-E-R-O in Handel's opera. Leigh, would you pronounce that for me? R-U-G-G-I-E-R-O. It's one of Handel's opera.
Ruggiero.
Okay, so he sang the role of Ruggiero, and he's a male soprano.
Well, I would prefer you to say a male tenor.
No, he's not a tenor. It says soprano here.
It's
A-N-O. The man before was a tenor. What's wrong with the male soprano?
That's what I wouldn't like to explain to you what would be wrong with a male soprano.
Well, unless this information here is in error, tell me the difference.
Well, you don't usually call women sopranos and you call men tenors.
This I'm reading from Dr. Lumsden's notes. And it says he was a male soprano. Could that mean that he sounded like a soprano and not a tenor?
Well,
let me just tell you what I see from it.
Let me just explain to you.
Okay.
If a tenor sounds like a soprano, they usually call them countertenors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but
well,
not...
then I suppose Dr. Lumsden sounds, well, she must have got this information from somewhere else.
I don't know where, but trust me, you don't want to call a male soprano.
Oh, okay. Well.
I mean, just think about it, you know.
I understand that, but I'm telling you, that's what he's called on the,
my
information. But listen to what I'm saying now.
Looking at his picture...
Mm-hmm. Looking at his picture, you know, the tenors, the pictures of the other men that I saw that sing all of these wonderful characters are always big, sort of heavy, big chest, you know, manly.
I hear you. I see where you're going, Anvis.
The picture of this young man, it seems like a young picture. He's quite, I would say, almost frail is
mm-hmm.
how I would describe him. Thin.
Who knows? Maybe he's a soprano.
Right! Well, this is what I mean. He looks like a soprano. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, we got the message. What else?
Okay.
You know?
So here is my point. Do you know what this R-U-G-G-I-E-R-O in Handel's opera would look like or sound like?
Sound like.
Are you familiar with that opera?
No, I'm not familiar with Handel's.
Oh, I see. Anyway, he did that in 1957. So it doesn't say here how old he was or anything.
Well, maybe he was young enough to be called a soprano. Who knows?
Hmm. So, and she has mentioned here all who took the leading role for different parts of the, you know,
where was this
opera. Beg your pardon?
Where was this performed? Did she
in say? England.
Okay.
In London, England, in 1957.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at his picture, he was quite frail looking. I don't see him singing a big, strong, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. And that's all the information that she had on him the year he performed that particular opera. And not the year he was born or anything else. And since that's so long ago, who knows, perhaps he's not around anymore. But anyway, now we're going to talk about Curtis Watson. Have you heard of him? He's a baritone.
No.
Acclaimed, internationally acclaimed bass baritone. And he has been involved in an extraordinary range of activities apart from singing. These have included acting. He was named the best supporting actor of the year in 1978. He has been a musical director. He's been directing. He has been choral conducting, teaching, writing for various publications, as well as his hobby, restoring and reproducing antiques in his spare time. His career as an opera and concert singer has been no less varied. He has won acclaim on the opera and concert platforms across a number of cities in Europe and the former Soviet Union, the USA, the Caribbean, and Japan. And we have never heard of him. Boy, we must have been under a rock. His name, and don't you forget it, Mr. Lay, is Curtis Watson. It doesn't say what year he was born. But it seems hard because 78 was not so long ago, was it? I mean, he could be still performing. Curtis Watson studied with the English baritone Robert Williams and the Jamaican soprano Joyce Britton. Now, have you heard of her?
No.
Neither have I. Britton. At the Jamaican School of Music, after graduating with honors from Maiko Teachers College. And if there are any Maiko old boys out there, was it an all boys school, Maiko? Lay?
No, I don't think it was all boys.
Okay, well, if there are any students from around that time, 1978, or before, that might have known this Curtis Watson. It would be good to hear from them. I see a raised hand at 631-451. I'm going to open the mic. Good evening. This is Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have?
This is Janine from Long Island.
Hi, Janine. Good evening. How are you?
Okay.
Welcome to the Labrish.
Yes, thank you. Well, Michael, it's if I can remember right, it's all boys.
That's what I thought. Was it a teacher's college? No?
I'm trying to I think so, because we had a friend that went to Michael, yes, and he ended up being a teacher at St. George's. So I would say, yes.
Oh, what year, around what year that would be?
Well, I would say this friend has to be in his 70s.
I see. Interesting.
Yeah, and the next point is you do have tenors that are not really big. You know, as the saying goes, sometimes they say it's not the length of the gun but the force of the shot. They have the voice and they can carry it, you know.
Right. No, well, it's funny. I noticed that they said male soprano, and I figured that he just sang in a high-pitched voice. But looking at his picture, he's just a very frail. He had a frail frame. And I always think of baritones and all of that as, you know, heavier, more stacked people, big chest, and take a bigger breath. But that's just
that
all in my head.
Maybe you're thinking that way because you're thinking of the tenors, like from Italy and things like that.
Yeah, could be.
But
yeah, so anyway.
They have three men in Jamaica that still lives in Jamaica, and they are called the tenors, you know, and she told me they are very good.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're currently performing?
Yes, and they still
live
in Jamaica, and they have their CDs out.
Wow. Okay, so Mr. Robert, no, Williams, who are we? Curtis Watson, we're discussing now. He was admitted as a fellow of the Trinity College of Music in London. So he is, now at Michael, he won the Nathan Brissett Most Improved Student of the Year and Music Student of the Year Award. In 1999, the college's 150th anniversary, he was honored for distinguished service to the development of music education in Jamaica. So apparently, you know, he has been quite involved in Jamaica, because this was in 1996. In 1996, he was awarded this honor of being the distinguished service. Now, in 1979, Watson was awarded a joint Soviet-Jamaican government scholarship to study opera and concert singing in Moscow, where he studied for 3 years. Interesting. He studied theater and 3 years postgraduate studies with the world-famous Russian bass singer, the same one you talked about before, Lee. Nesterenko. Mr. Nunes, are you there?
Yes, Nesterenko.
All right. Yeah, I didn't want to say the rank part wrong. Nesterenko. Okay, in the Soviet Union, Curtis Watson became the first foreigner. Oh, boy, I love that first thing. We do it all the time. To win a medal in the all-Soviet competition and subsequently received an honorary diploma from the Ministry of Culture. Isn't that something? In Moscow. Ain't that something? In 1994, he won the first prize at the Mario Di Marco International Opera Competition in Germany. So he moved from the Soviet Union to Germany, I mean in performing. I don't mean literally, and I don't know about that. And a diploma in international opera competition in Austria. Watson had the distinction of being the only Jamaica to date to have won first prize in an international opera competition. Locally, he was also the first recipient of the JAMI Award for the Best Classical Male Singer. Isn't that something? So tonight we celebrate this young man, or however old he is, Curtis Watson. That is something else. I am just so impressed. His operatic appearances have taken him to numerous theaters in the Soviet Union, the Royal Opera House, these are different theaters that he performed in the Soviet Union. All over the Soviet Union, you know, he has performed, and it has all of the different characters that he has played. Now, he's also performed in Ireland, in Scotland, and in Germany. And, of course, the Little Theater in Jamaica. So I'm glad to hear that, you know, and I would love to know if he really is still current. Huh. You should see all of the different roles that he has played. I mean, pages and pages of it. In November of 1990, following his international success, Watson launched his own showcase. It was called the Curtis Watson and Friends Show, which had its successful premiere at the Little Theater in Jamaica. Huh. The show rapidly became a household name, always playing to sold-out houses. Later that year, which was in 1990, he founded the Jamaica Festival Opera, directed a new production of Adia, and... Adia? A-I-D-A.
Mm-hmm. Aida.
Aida. And became the artistic director of the company. His recordings include, they have just a whole lot of listing. He did Porgy and Bess, too.
That was good.
Yeah. And he performed with the Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra that was conducted by Sir Charles Groves from the BBC. And now Curtis Watson adds to his list of credits enthusiastically received guest performances in Los Angeles, California, including his debut with the Redlands Symphony Orchestra under the baton of maestro John Robertson. So apparently this maestro is well known in the philharmonic circles. Huh. A traveling professor, Dr. Watson conducts master classes in singing in cities around the world during the summer months. He is a distinguished lecturer in singing and is well known for his teaching methods in the art of singing and a radical approach to sight singing. S-I-G-H-T, singing. I wonder what that means. What does sight singing mean, Lay?
That's when somebody hands you a music score and you immediately sight read it.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, huh. You know, you didn't practice it. You just read it, and that's a very good skill for a performer.
Yeah,
Isn't that something? Well, I've learned so much from this series. My goodness,
that's good for that.
I didn't realize how, you know, not so bright in this area I was. So thanks for letting me know that, and I'm hoping that some of the people who come along and listen to the show will find it enlightening too. But this young man, it's, well, I don't know how young he is, but he has quite a few credentials, doesn't he? Huh. And I must comment that a couple of them I've read about, you know, it talks about them adding something special to whatever they do, you know, making it their own, putting on their own style to it. And it's not always that whenever there is a twist or a change to anything that it's well appreciated. You know what I mean? In different types of art. But all of these seem to have been well received, you know, by the people who experience it. So that is all I have so far on this man, but it's quite enlightening. And I wish I had some way of finding out, you know, what they're currently doing, and I might make that into another show. You know how you have seen some of these past movie stars and they say, where are they now? Anybody remember any of those shows that you watch on TV or so? They say, where are they now? And they give you a little update about what they're doing. You know, and if anybody out there would like to do that research for me, I would really appreciate it, because I keep thinking there's so little time and so much to cover. Because believe me, between pieces of the past, that is some research by that person that you know, Lay, Doctor, I forgot, I think her name starts with, it's a female that has helped to put most of the pieces that the Gleaner Company have on their site, which the name of that segment is Pieces of the Past, and it's a historical documentation of different events and people.
That's Rachel, I forget her last name.
Right, right. But the between that and Dr. Joy Lumsden's websites, I mean, just, I would need another 50 years, you know, to cover all this stuff. So
she's Siaga's niece.
Pardon?
Rachel is Siaga's niece.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, she must be a history lover.
Well, she is a PhD, and she did quite a bit of research on Jamaican history. Just like Lumsden, but, you know, present day.
Right, right, right. And I must, if I may, share a little bit about Dr. Lumsden with our listeners. She's an English woman. She was born in England and met her Jamaican husband at college. You know, I think it was Cornwall. And they got married apparently in England, and she had her first child there, and then moved to Jamaica. And I forgot how many children she has, but the rest of her children were born in Jamaica. And apparently, from reading about her, most of her children and grandchildren are living abroad. So I don't know how much family she has in Jamaica, but she still resides there and still continues to do this work of research. And she's always, on several of her pages, you will see that she says, you know, she's working at several things simultaneously. And if anyone has any current information on anything that she has documented so far, you know, would they please send it to her? And I put myself in her shoe, because I've put out the word so many times. If anybody can fill me in on anything up to date about, you know, what we discuss, please do so. And, you know, I must say that I do get some information from as far away as India and even China. I got somebody from China that sent me something that came over on the on a Chinese travel channel, and it was very interesting. It's nothing that I would discuss, I'd make a show on Backyard Labrish, but it was just very interesting, and I'm planning to put it up on my show. I mean, on the website, on the blog talk, on the Backyard Labrish website itself, so people can enjoy it. But it was a Chinese journalist who had apparently he's involved with a travel channel in China, one of the cities in China, and he took his camera crew and went on a tour of Jamaica, you know, the spots that tourists go to and not so popular tourist spots, and had the cameraman follow him, and then they showed it on this travel channel in China. And she sent me that video, which was very, very, she or he, I don't know, I just have her email address. So it's interesting. But back to what I was saying, anybody that comes by and listens to the show and have any information on anything historical that can be documented, go to Dr. Joy Lumsden's page and, you know, help her out. She's always anxious to get new information or current information or information that she'd never had before. So now we are going to talk about Maxine Franklin. Do you remember me discussing her before, Leigh? How much time do we have?
I think so, you know. I'm not sure.
Janine, you remember Maxine Franklin?
It rings a bell, but I don't.
Well, it's quite likely that I did her.
Bring it to your mind.
Mm-hmm. Pardon? So I think I wasn't quite sure when I was taking notes on her, but I know I didn't do Marie McMarrow.
No.
McMarrow. I know that name did not ring a bell. Any of my royal fans will agree or what?
You spoke about Maxine earlier in this show, but I don't remember you talking about Marie McMarrow.
Okay.
That name is, you'd remember that, McMahon.
She is a professor of voice at Castleton State College in Vermont, and is currently, she is involved, she performs concerts, she performed a concert series from 205 to 207 around the world promoting the music from the Caribbean. She is a soprano soloist with many, she has performed with many orchestras, including the Jamaican Philharmonic Orchestra again, the St. Louis Orchestra of Argentina, the Orchestra of Germany.
Well, that seems to answer the question about the Jamaica Philharmonic, because she's performing in a series 2005, 2007, and that's quite recent.
Right.
It could assume that the Jamaica Philharmonic is alive and well.
Yeah, because that is 4 and 3 years ago.
Right. Okay, good. Her performance include opera, oratorios, musical, and solo recitals. And as I said, she has performed all over the Cayman Islands, Canada, Holland, the United States. In 1993, she won the 1994 Jamaica Music Industry Award, which is JAMI, for the best female vocalist in classical music and for chamber music also. Now, she also won a Dutch government scholarship. This is the second person that won that in 1995 and became the first singer in the Netherlands to receive a grant from the Uri, whatever, German name, Foundation, an award usually given to piano students. She has a CD and recordings, which include the latest release, which is ZXAYMACA, Songs from the Hills of Jamaica, Volume 1. So she has CDs out. And we don't know about her. So check that name out, and perhaps you guys that are listening need to support some of these Jamaican classical artists if you like classical music, or if you have friends that do, And usually, most of the times, you can listen to part of the music before you, you know, download or buy the CD. So many of the people that we discuss, I think, are current and they have CDs out, or they may be playing at the opera house, or one of their compositions may be played by an orchestra. So now that we are enlightened, we will pay more attention when we have the opportunity to participate in anything like this. But I am just so intrigued about all the first and all the different parts of the world that most times, you know, you think of the usual places that we know, like Canada and England. But, you know, we're talking about Moscow and India and the Netherlands and just all over the place. Just all over the place. India, you know, of all places.
Of all places.
So I am just, you know, it has been a great pleasure to have discovered this. I remember when we did Discover Jamaica One Parish at a Time. Any of the fans remember that?
Yes.
And we were discovering all these neat things about why it was named or what was special about the soil. And I said, my goodness, our island is so rich and diverse in so many areas. Not just its people, but even the soil and the fruits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm saying that to say, you know, in spite of what's happening all over the world, and especially there now, you know, let us just seep in our tissues all these wonderful things for sure that can really empower us and make us feel good about ourselves and continue to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich culture we were privileged to grow up in.
Amen.
And with that said, I am going to ask my fans on the board if you would like to have a parting word, because our time is almost up and we'll be saying goodnight. Or if there are any questions from anyone on the board or comments, please let us know by hitting one on your keyboard that will tell us you want to say something in the Labrish. So join the Labrish. Miss Janine, you wanted to say something?
Yes. Well, I just want to say, remember the CD, Jamaica's Three Tenors, I think it's the name. And the next thing I would like to say is, Jamaicans, take a bow, because we have done it and we are still doing it.
Yes, and I wanted to mention that you had mentioned to me, I don't know if you mentioned it on the air, but about the young, let's call them Jamaicans.
Yes. Yes.
That are up and coming.
Yes.
And not only that, I read something recently about a young lady born in London of Jamaican parents that had a beautiful voice and was singing opera and had a performance in Jamaica not so long ago. They were dedicating, I think it's the Military Museum, and she came out for a performance at that special event. So, you know, I'm sure that many are still being born in Jamaica, but they're being born of Jamaican parents all over the world.
Yes, because they sang at the Woolmer's Luncheon.
Yes, two young ladies you were talking about.
Yes, two sisters. And I'm telling you, from what I heard, they were really something else.
And they were singing opera?
Opera. My sister told me if you didn't look at them and see them, you'd really think they are from Italy or somewhere. Because, you know, when you sing opera, you have to sing in the language.
Right.
And their voices, and I mean, they were just singing English, you know. She said they were remarkable, and I really don't know remember their names, but every time I remember, I lift them up because, you know, I hope they really get a break because they seem to be very good.
Well, if they were performing at something recently, you know, they're not hiding their talents under a bushel.
No.
And they're putting it out there and letting it shine.
Yeah.
So this is my opportunity to encourage the seniors and the juniors to, you know, if you are passionate about something and if you have a talent, it doesn't have to be in classical music, but in anything, and the way to share it with the world is to let it be heard and let it be seen. And, you know, we're going through a difficult time all over the world. People are experiencing difficult times. But even in these times, if we stay focused, be persistent, and be proud of who we are, then, you know, the light will shine and we will be successful. So I'm encouraging the seniors to embrace the new technology and use it for good. You know, find some young person that you can encourage or mentor or help in some way. So with that said, Mr. Lay, do you have a parting word for the world?
No, you all said it very nicely, and I just concur.
Okay, and any other listeners on the board that would like to let their voice be heard, you have a few seconds to hit 1 on your keyboard to let them know. You don't have to be personal and tell us exactly where you are and your address, so you don't have to be afraid. We just want you to tell us if you enjoy the show or send us an email. Make suggestions as to what you'd like to elaborate about. We're quite open. This is a very open forum, and we don't do religion or politics or negative things, or, you know, there's enough coverage for all of that stuff. So when we get together here in the backyard, we just try to build on the good stuff, reminisce on what used to be, and just have some fun. So I know I've had a lot of fun this evening, and I hope that my listeners, both online and on listening on their computers, and those that are on the board, have enjoyed the evening with me. And with that said, I am going to say good night.
Good night.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. And remember to make it a great week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.